Nobody's upset. Nobody's frustrated. Nobody's petitioning. Nobody's gathering together the plan to do something about this. Nobody looked around and scratched their head and said, something ain't right. Something is terribly wrong. Something is terribly wrong with this situation. But oftentimes, I have to ask myself, when did we stop wanting anything? I juxtapose this situation with that of Selma, and I see them when they looked around and they couldn't vote. They looked around at their situations and they were being intimidated by people who were there who didn't want them to eat in a restaurant, eat at a counter. You know, you couldn't. I was told of a story of a in Selma of a brother who went into a cafe. And as soon as he went in, it was one prejudiced gentleman came up to him and said, "We don't serve Negroes here." He said, "Good, because I didn't want one. I want a hamburger." But here it is. They were doing something about their situation because they wanted better. What would cause Rosa Parks to sit down on the bus and not get up when they told her to get up? She could have got up. It would have saved her a stir, jail, and all that. But she sat down because she wanted better. She was tired of this mess. She was tired of just going along and getting what everybody dished out. She was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm wondering if there's anybody that's sick and tired of being sick and tired of always being at the bottom of every good statistic and at the top of every negative statistic. When are we going to be dissatisfied? When are we going to be dissatisfied in our current situation, and when we look at our neighborhoods and say, "I want better and I'm willing to do what it takes to get better"? When are we going to get dissatisfied and start seeking more from God? Why are we satisfied? I believe it's because we've forgotten. The text says, whatever you do when you get there, don't forget the Lord. Now, you can forget a lot of things. You can run out of the house and forget your car keys. You can even forget your wallet in the car. You can, you can forget where you put your shoes. You can forget a lot of things, but the text said, don't forget the Lord. How do you forget the Lord? Everything ought to remind you of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, that ought to remind you of the Lord. When you get up and you're able to stand upright and walk to the bathroom, that ought to remind you of the Lord. But three times the text warns us, don't forget the Lord. Obviously, Moses knew what he was talking about. Because he knew there would be a people, when they become successful, they would forget the Lord. See, when we don't remember what it took for us to get here, it's not just Sunday school forgetting your black history. It's not forgetting black history. It's forgetting God's history. When you forget what, it's not about remembering King. It's about remembering what God did through King. It's not about remembering Parks. It's about remembering what God did through Parks. When you forget the signing of this legislation that went forth, it's not just forgetting what it took to get it signed. It's forgetting the God that allowed it to be signed. And when you forget God, you get complacent. You get comfortable. You stop wanting anything and you stop moving forward. But how can you forget God? How can you forget that we serve a bush burning, liberator sending, wonder working God? How can you forget that we serve a plague Red Sea splitting, Pharaoh defeating God. How can you forget that we serve a front seat of the bus sitting, Emancipation Proclamation signing, legislature signing kind of God? How can you forget that we serve a Montgomery-bound marching, a 2008 landslide presidential election winning kind of God? How can you forget that we serve a, just in case you thought it was an accident, a 2000 presidential seat holding kind of God? How can you forget that we serve a God that can take us from a low place and bring us to a good place? How can you forget that we serve a God who took us from eating chitlins to eating hot on the hog ribs and steak and potatoes? How can you forget the God that took us from the field and put us in corporate offices, in corner office and three-piece suits? How can you forget the God that took us from walking during the bus boycott to now driving Mercedes Benz and BMWs and Chevrolets and Tahoe? How can you forget the God that took us from struggling and being afraid to now owning our own businesses and having all of these other things? How can we forget this God who was able to do so much for us and get satisfied and believe that there's still not something in store for you? I came by from Lufkin, Texas to tell some satisfied saint up in this church today that God is not through with you yet. God is not through blessing you yet. You haven't even scratched the surface of what God is able to do. I came by to tell somebody, I hope that you still got some fight left down on the inside of you, because like King said, standing on the steps of Montgomery, he said, we are not done. We must fight on, because the end is still not in sight. And I came by to tell some satisfied saints sitting up in the church today that God has greater in store for you. I came by to tell somebody, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has for those who are not satisfied. I came by to tell somebody that God is still moving you up. God is still moving you out. God is still moving you forward. Don't get comfortable up in this church. Don't get comfortable shouting over God. Don't get comfortable just about waving your hands about God, because God still has some power to show you. God still has some liberating works to show you. God still has some heights to show you. God is not through with you yet, but he told me to tell somebody up in this church today to not get satisfied. Why don't you slap your neighbor and shake them, because they looking at me like a deer in front of a headlight. I came by to tell you, God is not through blessing you. God is not done. There's still a spirit of Martin Luther King up on the inside of somebody. We have not made it to the mountaintop. In fact, we still down in the valley. God said, put on your boots, put on your cleats, and get ready to run, 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 run. Because I can't wait to see what the end is gonna look like. Slap your neighbor and say, God ain't done. I don't know who lied. I don't know what kind of lie the devil has told. But the devil has told somebody the best has already come. But I came to correct that lie and say the best is yet to come. The best is still on the way. God still has something in store. There's still Red Seas that need to be split. There's still wildernesses that need to be crossed. God still got some manna in his storehouse. God still has some wonders yet to he have worked. God is not through blessing you. Don't get satisfied. Don't get comfortable. I need you to want more. Start dreaming. What happened to the dreamers? That was almost my title. What happened to the dreamers that could dream for better? That could dream and see themselves doing better. And not just themselves. Everybody in your household, in your neighborhood, in your extended family. Do you have a dream that God can still do great works? Do you have a dream that God can still take us further than where we are right now? That he can still bring us higher and deliver us to greater and greater places in society? If you have that dream, hold on to it and don't let nobody discourage you. Hold on to it and let nobody, don't let no satisfied joker discourage you. Don't let no comfortable joker come along inside of you. And you keep fighting, you keep dreaming, you keep believing. Because that's what we need today. We need people who will have the eyes to see that God is not done yet. Who can still see what it looked like to be on the mountaintop and run toward it. Don't get satisfied, saint. God bless you.